church groups receive discounted pricing. Do you think we can fake it and tell them that we're a church?
Jesus saves. Ovechkin puts in the rebound.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. What is going on? We are here to talk Caps hockey. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much, aside from my dog barking like crazy downstairs. Hey, not a lot.
You know what? She's a hockey fan. She wants to say something.
She was watching hockey with me before.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Watched hockey with me before.
My cat Zamboni loves it. Your dog loves it. Hockey, it's not just for humans. That's what the NHL should be saying. The NHL, not just for humans.
Apparently. That'd be an interesting advertisement.
Yeah, see, we're in the wrong business of podcasts. But here we are, man. We're here to talk about the Capitals. We're here to talk about the last couple games, some of the moves they've done, some of the weird stuff that's been going on. I want to start off the show. Normally, we kind of talk about, like, specific games or whatever, but I want to start off talking about what happened with Philip Grubauer coming up. I was absolutely shocked when I read the news that he was not only going to be coming up, but he was going to be playing, because I figured, like, oh, Peters may have gotten hurt, and you know he pulled a muscle or something, so they brought Grubauer up as a backup. But no, this guy he took the place of Peters. The guy has not had a good season. I kind of feel bad for the guy, though, because here we had three goalies again, just like we did last season. But Grubauer comes up because, I mean, there's two ways you can look at it, and I was trying to figure it out last week. Either they were showcasing Grubauer to someone to show, like, that he's worth trading for, or they have so little faith in Peters that they don't even want him up against a team like Anaheim, and they think going with Grubauer is a better way to win a game, or maybe a little bit of both. I don't know. What's your take on this? Because when Grubauer got called up, man, I was just kind of like, wow, this is crazy. I can't believe they're bringing him up.
I think you texted me during the day saying he was called up, and that I can't remember if you were expecting or you thought something was going to go on with Peters in terms of him being sent down or traded. I don't know if I, I don't think it's necessarily was a shot at Peters so much as they kind of wanted to see what they had in Grubauer. They wanted to give him an opportunity. I think they're still concerned with Peters and his lack of control with rebounds and things like that. But I was definitely surprised to hear him called up and that there was no other moves that happened in that particular day. But he did pretty well. He made 23 saves on 25 shots against a good Anaheim team. He did well. I have no problems with the way he played necessarily. I thought he did as well as he could do in that game. Like, the team sort of rallied around him, but they played well in front of him and did what they had to do and to get that win against Anaheim. And it was an interesting game to have him out there. It was definitely a random thing, but maybe it was to showcase him. They have a couple other goalies in the minors that, you know, could be ready in a few years. And, you know, you have Holtby for the foreseeable future pending this offseason and him needing to be re-signed. But aside from all that, He's going to get paid. But aside from that, it could be that they're sort of showcasing him a little bit. I don't think Peters would bring in much in a trade, and especially now with the way his rebounds have been going lately, and a couple of the way he's been playing to some extent. So maybe they're showcasing Grubauer a little bit. But I mean, even at that point, they're not going to get too much for him unless you're going to trade him to a team that is looking to rebuild and looking for a young goalie that may not be ready, this season or maybe next season. To sort of go through some of those growing pains. So it's an interesting situation, and I'm curious. I don't think we're ever going to find out necessarily why, but more in regards to why they brought Grubauer up and didn't just give Peters a start. But no, I sort of what you said, I don't think they trust Peters to be able to handle that type of game right now. Just because he gives up so many rebounds.
Yeah, Peters has not had a good season. I thought bringing him in, knowing his role was going to be a backup, that was going to be a good idea. But obviously, bringing him in may not have been the greatest thing because he's just not doing well. He's not performing the way he should be. I mean, to give up that many rebounds, like you were saying, in any game is never a good idea. And I'm also thinking that possibly, besides this being just kind of trade bait with Grabauer, I think Grabauer is ready to hit the NHL level, at least as a backup, because he's been tearing it up this season in the AHL. I mean, he was brought into their All-Star game, and I forget how many shots that he took.
It was like 8 out of 12 or something like that, but it's an All-Star game, so the stats are irrelevant.
Right, yeah, but like he was treating it as if it wasn't an All-Star game. He was still, you know, trying to make those blocks as much as possible, but he's doing a great job in Hershey. So I don't know, maybe they're like, if we can trade Peters for a draft pick or two, can we call Grabauer up? I definitely see Grabauer being a full-time Capital next season if it doesn't happen right around the trade deadline. We'll see what happens, but Grabauer is a great goalie. He's showing that in Hershey. I thought he looked pretty good up against Anaheim to just kind of be told, I guess, that day or night before that you're going to not only come up and practice with the team, but you're also playing that night up against the old coach's new team. I mean, that's going to be a lot of pressure on the guy. And for the most part, I mean, he handled it well. The Capitals were able to come out with a W. So it's an interesting thing. I was very shocked to see that happen. But I have a feeling Grabauer will be in red sooner rather than later.
I mean, sort of depends what they decide to do with Peters. If I have it correctly, they still have him locked up for next season. His cap is not that high, so if they wanted to move him out, they probably could, because it, you know, any team looking for a backup may be tempted to pick him up for like a, you know, seventh round pick. So they could bring up Grabauer, but then you sort of have to worry about him not playing all that much, and does that stunt his growth to some extent because he's not playing as often? You know, you want Holtby to be playing as much as you can because he's number one guy and he wants to get those games. So it's an interesting issue with the deciding with Grabauer. I think if he comes up, he's with this team for a year at most before he starts becoming trade bait and then wanting to move him out.
All right, so let's move on from Grabauer. Let's talk about this Flyers game that happened on Sunday. I don't even know if we can call it a game. The Capitals obviously were
not there. That's the problem. The Caps were not at that game.
It was a lazy Sunday for this team. The only one who looked like he wanted to be there and was playing his heart out was the captain, Alex Ovechkin. He was at least trying a little bit, but this team was tired. They were not happy about working a Sunday, I guess a Sunday in the middle of the afternoon, not prepared. They faced a Flyers team that studied tape. They knew what the Capitals were doing. They knew how to shut them down, and the Capitals did not respond in any way. I'm going to blame the players for taking the day off, but I'm blaming the coaches as well, because they obviously did not they didn't study the film of the team well enough. They did not adjust during the game to switch up the lines a little bit. This Flyers team scouted the Capitals. They knew what the Capitals were the strong points, where the weak points are, and they exploited everything they could. We got outplayed. We got outcoached by the Flyers. The Flyers absolutely deserve that win. The Caps looked like trash on Sunday.
Trash is certainly a great way to put it. They weren't getting enough shots on net. I think that was a huge point. It's kind of hard to score when the puck's not going towards the goalie. And so, you know, it wasn't one of those games where they were taking a lot of shots and the goalie was playing great. It wasn't, I mean, especially not that, because, what was it? Steve Mason got hurt and had to leave at one point. And they had to bring in Emery. So it was an interesting situation where they just weren't taking enough shots. They weren't doing enough defensively. They were giving up too many opportunities to the Flyers, and it just seemed like they were just not interested in finishing that game. And they had the opportunity to go to first in the Metropolitan had they won that game. And so it was definitely an opportunity for them to go out and be able to get ahead in the standing somewhat, and they just completely blew that opportunity.
They did. It was a terrible opportunity. It sucked.
They didn't, like, kick the ball away. They just dropped it and walked away slowly. Yeah. It was just that bad. They were just completely uninterested.
Yeah, it was just, you know, maybe we should be uninterested. Not even talk about it anymore, because it was just it was so bad. Like, just
it was pathetic how they were at. I missed the first period. I was coming back from the Eastern Shore, and I missed the first period. But I was listening on the radio, and it just sounded like they just were not playing very well. And then I watched the game, and it was just, there was no effort. I don't know if it was because it was a day game, but it wasn't like it was, you know, 12:30 game. It was what, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like it was that early in the day. So there was really no reason whatsoever that they should not have had a better effort in that game. And they just had zero interest in playing well on that game for some reason. I mean, it's disappointing, and I feel bad for the fans that paid money to go see that game. But also, you know, it was a great opportunity to be able to move up in the standings, and they just completely blew that chance.
Yeah, they crapped the bed, as you would say.
Yeah, that's my saying. We're gonna get t-shirts. What the fuck on the front? They crapped the bed on the back.
I don't want that on the back of my shirt.
That sounds inappropriate. That got away from me a little bit.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about this San Jose game. It started at 10:30 at night. I am an old 29-year-old.
I saw about 2 minutes of that game. I have to get up at just before 6:30 in the morning, so I saw about 2 minutes of that game.
Yeah, I was dragging all day. I got through about a period and a half of this game because I was tired. But let me just tell you a little story here, a little side note. Woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was actually laying on my couch, but like I had my legs, long ways on the couch, but I still was somewhat sitting up on. I was kind of like, crooked, sleeping for about, 3 hours or so. But women's, downhill skiing was on at 3 o'clock in the morning on NBC Sports. And not going to lie, stayed up for about a half hour watching it. Pretty interesting. But it was a weird game because I figured going to San Jose, the Capitals, going all the way across the country, playing at a later time, they were going to be just like me, tired, not used to playing that late. But they looked pretty good throughout the period and a half I saw, and I was very happy to wake up and see that they were able to come out with a win in overtime. Joel Ward scoring the game winning goal, so very happy to see that. For how long did the Capitals go winless in San Jose, and for them to come back and beat the Sharks, I believe, twice this season. Huge coup for them. Wonderful thing to wake up to on a Thursday morning. Capitals win and ladies going down a hill real fast on skis. It was fun.
Yeah. I saw like none of the game in San Jose, but as I understand, they came out to a lead and gave up two quick goals. Not that we haven't seen that before, but it's good to see that they're able to fight their way back against a good San Jose team and be able to win in San Jose, which they haven't done since I think the 1960s.
Yeah,
They did last year.
They did last year. Remember
to pull out? Oh, they did have that win. Okay, so they're done twice. A turn of the corner.
Yeah,
in California. No, they've had. It's nice that they can be able to come back and get those points. And right now, every point is important for them. They're third in the division right now with 68 points. They're one up on the Rangers. But again, they've played three more games. They've played one more game than the Islanders and the Penguins. They're 2 points behind the Penguins and 3 points behind the Islanders for first in the Metropolitan. So they need all the points they can get, and they can't keep blowing opportunities like they did against the Flyers, where they had the chance to be able to go out and get some points. So for them to be able to come back like they did in San Jose is definitely a good thing to see, and hopefully can propel them forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's something else to think about in San Jose. All of us could have just gone to bed because the guy who got that first goal in San Jose, Mr. Jay Beagle.
Yeah.
And when Jay Beagle scores, everybody wins. The team has been known to win those games if Jay Beagle scores first. But Adam Vingan tweeted this out a little bit earlier, and I found this very interesting. Jay Beagle has more 5-on-5 goals than Shane Doan, Jonathan Toews, Ryan Kesler, Jaromir Jagr, Marian Gaborik, Tyler Ennis, and Claude Giroux.
Interesting.
Jay Beagle has more 5-on-5 goals than all of those people.
Huh. Well, he's definitely playing better. He's had some good opportunities playing on the first line. Seems like every once in a while with Ovechkin and Backstrom, but I think Beagle's having a great season right now. And is he in a contract here? Is that part of it?
Yeah, he's got a contract coming up.
Oh, there it is.
And also, last night was his first ever 3-point game in the NHL.
Oh, put him on the first line. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. No, I think Beagle's definitely become a very – I mean, I still remember he was playing with the Bears, but he's definitely become a very good player for this team. He's able to go out and do the job that's needed, win those faceoffs, play on that third or fourth line, apparently occasionally on the first line, and chip in points. I mean, that's what you want from your fourth line. You want an energy line. Guys are going to go out there and mix things up and be able to play with intensity and a lot of energy and be able to put the puck in the net every once in a while. And if Beagle can keep doing what he's doing and the fourth line can keep going like it is, then they're doing a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on, talk a little bit more about some cap stuff going on. Dmitry Orlov, a guy that we have not seen play in almost a year.
9 years.
9 years.
That's right.
He came out to Comcast Sportsnet this week and said that his wrist is feeling a lot better. He expects to be on the ice and playing in 2 weeks. I don't know if he's not a doctor, I'm pretty sure. But it's interesting to hear him say, I might be on the ice in 2 weeks, because we do have some important games coming up. And he's on the trip right now to California with the team. So obviously they are getting him prepped to get started here. And I can't wait to see Orlov back in a Caps jersey, because, you know, it's been so long since we've seen him. But I have to wonder what this is going to do. Like, how long is it going to take for him to work that rust off from being injured and off the ice for so long?
Well, I gotta figure his defenseman's gonna be a little tougher. He's gonna be on the third pairing, so he might be in as tough a situation as you may find a guy like if there was an Alzner situation or Carlson or one of those guys. He sent him down to Hershey for a couple of games to get a lot of that rust off, and then I think we're gonna see a couple of mistakes in his first few games. But we know that he's a good player, and it's been a while since he played. I think the longer you're out, the harder it is to get rid of that rust, and so it'll be a little while. But I think if he can come out and play strong and get back close to where he was before, and he should be good to go, when they start to make that playoff run and getting into the playoffs. It'll take a little while, but he definitely has the opportunity to be able to come in and solidify a spot on that third pairing with Mike Green. That'd be an interesting pairing. Green and Orlov, two very offensive-minded guys.
That would be a tough one, but you got to...
Orlov is master of the hip check. It's just old-school hip check. Like, he's not even that big. He just kind of hip checks you, and that's it.
So Orlov, coming back to this team, of course, we have Steven Oleksii. He's up, but he's in the press box. Orlov and Green could definitely be something interesting to watch. But with Schmidt out, does Orlov coming back really affect the defense in any big way? I mean, having him back absolutely will be a great addition to the defense. But how is it going to affect guys like Hillen or whoever else we need to worry about on defense? Do you see, like you were talking about, the fact that it could be Orlov Green? Could Trotz switch up the lines a little bit more now that Orlov's going to be back?
Well, it certainly gives him an opportunity to do that. I think you had the opportunity to rotate the between Hillen and Orlov a little bit. I think that Orlov will get a chance. I mean, Hillen's playing well enough right now that he hasn't necessarily lost the spot. But if Orlov can come in and play better, then it helps his team win. And, you can't – even if they like how Hillen's playing, if Orlov's doing a better job, you put him in the lineup. You have to see what's a better pairing. Is Green Orlov a better pairing than Green Hillen? That's something you'll have to keep an eye on to see how they do. And even if Orlov is the better player, if the pairing doesn't work out and they're giving up more goals, then he's gonna be on the outside looking in. I think it affects Oleksii in the sense that once Orlov's back, Oleksii's going back down to Hershey and probably staying there, barring any more injuries. I think it'll be interesting when Schmidt comes back, what they decide to do with Orlov and Hillen and Schmidt, because I don't imagine they're going to carry that many defensemen.
Well, I would assume they would send Schmidt down to Hershey.
I mean, I think that'd be the safe assumption. He's definitely going to go down at one point just because you need some of those games to get back into the swing of things, as they say. And you'll have that opportunity for him to go down and get some games under his belt. And then Orlov will be playing, hopefully. So we'll see what he does. I mean, you got to see how he comes back from the injury. Is it going to change his game up a little bit, because he may not have the same abilities that he had before? It was his wrist injury, right? And so he may not be able to. Is he going to be able to control the stick quite the same way that he did before? And so, it'll be interesting to see what happens when he comes back and what they decide to do with the lineup. But right now, he's got to be able to play better than Hillen if he wants to be on the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anything else we should talk about before we leave Caps World?
No. I mean, we can just forget about the game against Philly, like we said. That sucked. I mean, we'll talk about it at the end of the show, but they got a bunch of games coming up and opportunities to make some more points. We got some late games on coming up, and it'll be fun and stuff. And they got to go out and earn as many points as they can, because they got all those games up on the other teams, and so they have that opportunity. They got to keep earning points, because these other teams, eventually the Rangers are going to catch up to them in games played. And if they get those three games and those are all wins, then they fly ahead. But the whole thing is, they're also where did it go? I had the playoff sort of thing set up. Here it is. They are currently. They got 68 points, right? So they are 1 point up on the Rangers. So it's the Rangers and the Bruins in the wild card positions. Mm-hmm. The next closest team to the wild card position is 4 points behind the Bruins and 9 points behind the Capitals. So as of right now, unless they completely crap the bed and either the Panthers or the Flyers, maybe the Senators and the Devils have an opportunity to earn a whole bunch of points, the Capitals are going to be in the playoffs. But it depends. I mean, right now they're going up against the Penguins, it looks like, in the first round.
Oof.
not exactly ideal, but the Pens aren't playing very well as of late. And so it'll be interesting to see how that comes
up. The Pens aren't playing well, but how are they still that the high up?
Games, the last few games they have played very well. They had a bit of a streak in there where they weren't doing very well. But they also have – and they have the same problems the Capitals are having with injuries and things like that. And so, you know, you go into it, you see how the teams do. But right now I think the best thing the Caps can do is just keep earning as many points as they can.
That's the name of the game at this point. Yeah, I know overtimes against Eastern Conference teams, you just need to get 2 points. You got to get out of there and secure that playoff spot. Because like I said, the way the Flyers played on Sunday, if they are that low in the standings, they are definitely going to work their way up because they know what to do to break teams down. They broke the Caps down, and the Capitals did not adjust. So the Flyers will definitely be a threat if they can get back up to that that postseason. Season level. So we'll see what happens, but if that's it for Caps World, we are going to go down on the farm. But before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Free range Dan, what is going on down the farm?
That was dumb.
Free range, come on. You're free to talk about and move around as you want. You're not confined by what you have to talk about. You can cover.
Yes, I am confined because we're talking about the minor leagues. Moving on. In the past week, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over Binghamton, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Lehigh Valley. Seriously, are they playing Lehigh Valley like every week?
They have.
That is every week. Hey, they did this with Lehigh Valley now. It's getting a little ridiculous. The Bears are currently first in the East Division with a record of 27-13-7. Good for 61 points, 2 up on second place Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, though Hershey has played 3 less games. So right now the Bears are doing very well, and they got to keep it up. The Bears play next on the road on Friday in Albany, Saturday at the Giants Center against Portland, and then Sunday on the road in Bridgeport. South Carolina, guess what? They also went 3-0 in the past week with 2 wins over Greenville and a win over Gwinnett. The Stingrays are currently tied for 5th in the East Division with a record of 21-18-7, good for 49 points, 19 points behind first place Florida. Ouch. That's a bit of a hill to climb in there. The Stingrays play again on Friday at home against Gwinnett. Then on the road in Gwinnett, they're playing Gwinnett a bunch apparently as well. Gwinnett is the ECHL version of Lehigh Valley. They're in the road in Gwinnett on Saturday. Then they play Sunday at home against Evansville. Then they play on Tuesday and Wednesday on the road in Orlando. Stingrays are playing a lot of games over the next week.
Yeah.
Let's go back up to Hershey real quick, where team captain Dane Byers will miss the rest of the season and any playoff games. He's due to undergo shoulder surgery, so that's pretty unfortunate. No word on if the Bears are going to name a new captain, but yeah, it's pretty. I think he is 5th, 6th, or 7th on the team in scoring right now. So it's a bit of a hit that the team took, and we'll see how they are able to come out of that. And it'll be interesting to see what happens at the trading deadline with the Capitals in regards to any players that might be leaving Hershey or coming in, depending on any trades. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Now, you do have to bring this up as well. The Hershey Bears will be wearing special Valentine's Day jerseys on Saturday. I love them. I think they're really cool. The numbers are in pink. The captain or the alternate A is in pink as well. The bottom has a little bit of hearts. But the jersey and the bear on the jersey, it looks like dark chocolate. You know, it's not really that brown you're used to. It's more of a, you know, closer to black type of color. But I think it's a great theme jersey. Normally, they are pretty off the wall. But this one is pretty legit. I like it.
Yeah, you sent me a picture. I was scared at first.
Because you know how I am with jerseys.
Usually when the AHL teams and the ECHL teams do something, one of these jerseys, you're like, oh God, it's going to look ridiculous. But this was actually pretty cool. Yeah. It's just too bad. It's going to be like $500.
Yeah, that's true.
So if they have a t-shirt, maybe I'll try and get one at some point. I got to go to a Bears game soon.
Yeah, you and me both, because I'm dying to go up to Hershey again. It's been too long.
They got any cool promotions on any of these games coming up? Problem is, it's usually like the Giants Center sits like, what, like 10 or 12,000?
Yeah.
Something like that. And it's usually the first like 3,000 fans. You're like, God damn it. I have to get there like 3 hours before the game to get whatever, a towel or a hat or whatever they're giving out. But yeah, you know, it'd be cool to go out, we'll go out and get some cool stuff from the Bears, because the Caps aren't giving away anything cool.
No, no. They do have a baseball cap night coming up. And then on like the 28th of February.
First 5,000 fans.
They're doing a rally
first
towel.
First 8,000 fans.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Janitorial services.
That's so what worries me, because what is going to be on this?
Coming in that one.
What is going to be on this towel that the janitorial service is like, here, use this.
So there's going to be some poop on the towel. That would be my, oh yeah, t-shirt, first 5,000 fans. Let's see what else. Ooh, Hershey Park Pass night. That's kind of cool.
That was a Super Bowl night as well. If the Super Bowl wasn't going on, I would have went on for the Hershey Pass night.
That's kind of cool. I like Hershey Park, even though I can't do a lot of roller coasters and stuff because I get motion sick. But aside from that,
I just don't do roller coasters or anything because I'm, you know, 29. But that's.
I would do roller coasters if I could, but you know, I don't really feel like throwing up on the people around me.
Well, you know, that means you're not really a team player.
No, I think not wanting to throw up on people is pretty much being a very good team player.
All right. That's
like, I'm looking out for the people around me.
All right, so that's pretty much it for what is going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go, everybody. We are going around the NHL. We are talking anything going on. Somebody has to have been suspended. Someone's fined. Someone's hurt. Someone lost an eye.
I have no faith in the NHL players.
These are violent gentlemen.
Something terrible.
These are violent gentlemen, and they are always in trouble. But, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Turns out 9 players were suspended. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. Let's start off in Buffalo, where the Sabres went into full tank mode as they traded defenseman Tyler Myers, forward Drew Stafford, prospects Joel Armia and Brendan Lemieux, and a first-round pick to Winnipeg for Dickhead and recently season-ending injured forward Evander Kane, former Atlanta Thrasher defenseman Zach Bogosian, and college goalie Jason Kasdorf. Sabres are definitely trying for the first pick in the NHL draft. Now, Buffalo apparently wasn't done there, as they also sent goalie Jonas Enroth to Dallas for goalie Anders Lindback and a conditional third-round pick. I didn't understand that trade whatsoever.
So Nuvi's still up there? He's still...
I'm pretty sure Nuvi's still up there. Now, the Sabres have 3 first-round picks, and they're not saying which one of those first-round picks they're sending to Winnipeg. They have a pick, I think, from St. Louis and someone else. I can't remember specifically who it was from. So they had 3 first-round picks. I'm very surprised that they made this move. One, I mean, Kane is out for the rest of the season, so it doesn't make as big of a deal. It's not.
Why would you trade him now if he's out for the rest of the season?
Winnipeg? Because they want to get rid of him because, again, he's a dickhead. The guy's insane. He causes problems in the locker room. The players apparently are not a fan of him. And so, you know, he's a crazy person, I guess. And
he's the RG3 of Winnipeg?
No. RG3 is not a dickhead. He just forgot how to play football. Totally different.
Douchebag?
No. It's not a douchebag. No. He's not like Downey or what's that idiot up in with the Canadians? I'm totally blanking on his name right now. With the Canadians anymore? Anyways, and so there's, you know, I don't understand necessarily what Buffalo's doing in trading one of their first round picks. I mean, if you want to go and tank, you want to give yourself the best opportunity to be able to go and get one of those top 2 players. And if you have a bunch of first round picks, maybe you can trade 2 of them or 3 of them to be able to go and have an opportunity to take one of those, one of the top players in their draft. I think the first top 2 guys are the ones that are saying they're going to be the next, you know, Stamkos, Crosby, Ovechkin, those kind of guys. Moving on to the next thing, Arizona claimed forward Mark Arcabello off of waivers from Pittsburgh. And finally, goalie Evgeny Nabokov was traded from Tampa Bay to San Jose for future considerations, though this was strictly a paper move to allow Nabokov to retire as a Shark. The idea was Sharks GM Doug Wilson, who heard Nabokov may retire after he declined to report to the AHL after Tampa put him on waivers. So Wilson called Tampa Bay GM Steve Yzerman to work out a trade, which I actually thought was a pretty cool thing for him to do. Nabokov, who was selected in the 9th round – that doesn't even exist anymore – the 9th round of the 1994 NHL draft. I was in 4th grade. Wait. Yeah, it was the summer of fourth grade, after fourth grade. Moving on. He was struck in 94, retires after playing 10 seasons in San Jose. He then spent one in the KHL before coming back to the NHL. I remember he was supposed to go to the Red Wings, but he had to go through waivers and was claimed by the Islanders, and he was pissed. But then actually ended up staying for three seasons with the Islanders because they started doing some good things. And then he spent this past season with Tampa before he was put on waivers and then traded, as we said, to San Jose. He holds the record for wins, shutouts, and has played more games than any other goalie in Sharks history. He also won the Calder in 2001 and was a Vezina finalist in 2008. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Plenty of stuff going on around the NHL, but let's talk.
I'm sure someone will be suspended next week. Don't worry, Brandon.
We'll see what happens, but let's talk about what's going on with the Capitals until we talk again. Saturday, February 14th, VD Day, Valentine's Day. The Capitals are in Los Angeles up against the Kings. That game is at 10 o'clock. On Comcast Sportsnet.
But it's Saturday, so it's okay. We can stay up and watch it.
So this is what you do, okay? It's Valentine's Day, and, you know, you're going to take your lady out. Take her out to a nice steak dinner, okay? You know, and take her home, put on some music, you know, slow dance with her, and then once the game's about to start, just look at her and go, I just want a puck. And then just sit down and watch the Caps-Kings game. That's your plan for Saturday.
This is a family show.
Well, they just want a puck. I mean, what the puck's wrong with that?
Oh Jesus. that was terrible. No, you know what music you can play? You ever gone on to CSN Plus or whatever it's called, CSN 2 or whatever they were going to end up calling it, and listen to the, like, you know, the CSN theme over and over and over? God, that thing gets it's so repetitive and it's stuck in your head. Because, like, after the game's over, they're not playing anything else, and so that just keeps going on. So if you, like, after a game, I go out and walk the dog, I come back, and you're just hearing that theme in the background. You're just like, oh, my God, where's the remote? I have to mute it. It's so repetitive and annoying. But that's the music you can play to make sure that you don't get any on Valentine's Day.
All right. So then on Sunday, February 15th, back-to-back games in California. The Capitals are up against the Anaheim Ducks. That game is at 8 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Caps, what are you doing? It's Walking Dead night. Don't have a game.
Oh, God, I didn't even think of that.
Don't have a game on Sunday nights. What's your problem? Now, here's the big question, though. Back-to-back games, do you have Holpe play both, or are you calling Grabauer out to the West Coast to play one of those games? Something to think about there, folks. I don't know. They're both really good opponents. Well,
I think you play Peters in L.A. and Holpe in Anaheim.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. And then
Anaheim's a better team, so I think you put Holpe out there instead
of the Kings have been having some trouble the last couple weeks.
Yeah, so definitely, I think if you're going to want to play Peters at some point, I think they're due, then you play him against LA. And just hope to God that the rebounds, if they're going to exist, go out to the side, not right in front of the net like they were last time.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. And then on Tuesday, February 17th, the Capitals are in Pittsburgh up against the Penguins. Yeah. 7 o'clock, that game will be on Comcast Sportsnet. So, three really good opponents. You know, lots of chances for Caps to walk away with 2 points each game. Like we said, the Kings haven't been having the greatest season. The Capitals beat the Ducks last time they were in D.C. The Ducks are a great team, though. You never know what's going to happen with them. And then the Penguins, who is above the Capitals right now in the standings for the Metropolitan Division. You definitely want to walk away with 2 points against them. You can't give them any more points than they already have because you want to walk away with a win and get even higher in the standings. So three really important games, all ones you want to watch and get as much hockey in as you can right now because there's not much left and they're going to be good games. I can't really think of one that's going to stand out.
Yeah, the Penguins game, of course.
Well, that goes without saying. Penguins
definitely. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think the biggest interesting thing will be how many points they can get on this road trip. I think it's lucky for them they're going out to California this weekend. It's supposed to be like ridiculously cold over here.
Yeah.
So lucky, very lucky for them. No, but I think the decision to see which night the goalies play and then the game against the Penguins is going to be the most important thing right now.
Yeah,
it's what's it called? A 4-point game against the Penguins with the.
It's very true.
Both fighting for a better spot in the playoffs.
Very true. Very true. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Don't forget to follow us and talk to us about Puck and Caps and whatever else we got going on. So tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachAnn. You can also find me occasionally at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan or website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Now, I have an article that I wrote on my iPad while I was coming back from the Eastern Shore, yet I keep forgetting to actually send it to the guys over at Capitals Outsider. So I should probably do that at some point soon. So you should be able to hopefully check that out in the next couple of days about Mike Green and what the team may decide to do with all the trade rumors going around regarding Mike Green and whether he's going to be sticking around or finding himself in a new sweater pretty soon. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. But before we get done with Caps Outsider, if you want to check out the OV bobblehead they'll be giving away in 2 weeks, Caps Outsider has a little sneak peek of it. So go over to CapitalsOutsider.com and check it out there. But to hear more about What the Puck, the other podcast that we do, hear from Brando Cash Entertainment, any photos or videos we might put out, go to BrandoCash.com for all the information you're going to need. Also go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, like us over there, and whenever something new pops out that we do, we will post it there immediately. Like the show on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP podcast, and like us and follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Now, please, guys, we talk about this every single week. We want to continue the show. We want it to get bigger and we want it to get to a broader audience. And the only way that we are going to do that is with your help. You guys are, if not bigger than us, you know, the biggest part of this show besides just Dan and I talking is you guys that listen and help spread the word. Okay. So we are on every single platform you can think of. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Whichever way you listen to What the Puck, let people know and be social with the show and be proud of the fact that you're a Caps fan and that you listen to What the Puck, that you enjoy podcasts. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web, say, I'm a Caps fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. It's Valentine's Day this weekend. Caps are up against the Kings on the big day. So all I'm going to say is roses are red, pucks are black. The Caps are going to win because the Kings won't fight back. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Hey, dog. You're not a part of this show.
God damn it, that's going to get annoying.
All right, here we go.
maybe he doesn't do it anymore, but...
Uh-oh. Oh, chopper. Chopper in.
Yeah, someone's coming around.
Somebody's coming. I am Putin's helicopter.
Yeah, he's coming after me, and they're not talking about Ovechkin enough.
You talk about Caps, but not Ovechkin.
You only talk about Russian players.
Ove just, like, he Instagrams so many pictures of Putin. It's so weird.
I think he's just trying to, you know, not get a firing squad sent after him. Or get sent off to the Siberia. You no send me picture on Instagram. Why you no friend me on Facebook, Ovechkin?
All right.
You friend me now. Or I put you in Kremlin jail. I don't even know if that's a thing. That's a thing, right?
Sure.
Who cares?
I thought about that all day.
How long did it take you to come up with that
one? That took me all day. It's all I did. All I did at work.
Brandon, you did any work? Nope.
Brandon, what'd you do today at work? Did you get all the stuff digitized in? No. But I got this great outro for my show tonight. It's great.
Check it out, dude. It's a great little poem.